So again, my name is Pastor Adrian Curtis. I am the new associate pastor here at Carmel United Methodist Church. And today marks week two in our series, In the Light. Through our series, we're looking at different chapters and segments of 1 John. Now, 1 John is not to be confused with the Gospel of John. So when you open up your New Testament, the Gospel of John is the book where we hear about one of four accounts of Jesus's life here on earth. But 1 John was directed to the early believers. It was directed to those early Christian communities that were trying to figure out, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I feel like we're still working with that question today. What does that mean to follow Jesus? What are the things that are important to us today? And so in 1 John, I want to encourage you, you can do it right now if you want. Open up your Bibles, turn to chapter 4, where we have an indication of one of the things that is so important to the Christian community then and now is love. What defines us as Christians, what marks us as a follower of Jesus Christ is love. Now, in that early Christian community, they didn't have a lot of good leaders to follow. You look at some of the most powerful people that existed during that time, and so we're talking AD 30 through 95, 96. During that time, the Roman emperor was it. He was the all-powerful. Anything the Roman emperor said went. And they could do anything. They had power to kill whoever they wanted, to steal, to redirect funds, to cheat. Whatever they did was accepted because no one was more powerful than them. No one could stop them. We have, even today, we still remember Caligula, who was just emperor for 4 years and earned a reputation for being a little bit crazy and paranoid. But one of the things Caligula did, according to historians, is he made himself a god and told everybody they needed to worship him. He even went so far, according to some accounts, to take a statue of himself and put it in the temple in Jerusalem so that people had to worship him like a god. Not too long after him, Nero came around, and multiple historians blame Nero for setting fire to Rome. Why would an emperor do that, you might wonder? Well, he needed to build a golden palace, and there was no room. And so as soon as he set fire, he took out part of Rome. He then built his big, gigantic palace there. In the center of the palace, or the golden house, there was a gigantic statue of Nero put up. He called it Colossus of Nero. This is what powerful people did back in the time when 1 John was written. And these were the kind of leaders that the Christians are looking at as they're trying to figure out how to follow Jesus Christ. And so it's not surprising that being in that kind of world, that sometimes we put God in that kind of box as well. We imagine God, our all-powerful ruler, to be prone to those same issues, to be fearful and authoritative and judgmental. Sometimes I know I've been guilty of, you know, having a particularly bad day. Have you ever just thrown your hands up and been like, what the heck are you doing to me? Is this just part of God's game? Part of God's messing around, playing with us? We imagine our powerful God to be like that. And yet, 1 John chapter 4 gives us a completely different picture of love and power. And I want to read that for you Now, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 12, and again, I love it when you get your Bibles out and read along. That's a hint. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 12, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." Love. In 1 John chapter 4, we have a picture of an all-powerful God who gave it all away. Imagine it. God could have anything. This is the Creator who put the world in motion. In the blink of an eye, God could take any one of us out. And what did he choose to do with his power? He gave it up for our sake. For our sake, God entered into this world as a fragile baby. And he wasn't born to emperor's family. He wasn't born in Rome to the most powerful family. He was born to a poor girl who wasn't even married, in the middle of nowhere, Bethlehem. And as Jesus came into this world and walked with us, through Jesus, God experienced pain and suffering and rejection and all the good things too, love and happiness and laughter. But we know at the end of the day, eventually Jesus, God in flesh among us, that Jesus would be arrested. He would be tried and convicted unfairly, and eventually he would be killed. That's right. For our sake, God entered into our story and experienced death for us. That is the model we have to follow. That model of love, a power sacrificed for the sake of love for us. We try to follow that example today, and as it says in 1 John, we're called to love in the same way. But that's a huge, huge thing to try to do, right? To love in the same way that God has loved us. And sometimes we get it wrong. And so 1 John, it gives us some directions on what is and what is not love. First, we understand love is not fear. Fear and love cannot coexist together. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." If you're afraid, then it's not really love. And we can't force someone to love us. That's not love either. Love is freely given. Love is free from fear. I grew up in the United Methodist Church. My dad is a pastor. Try not to hold it against me. I grew up as a PK, preacher's kid. And that means that there's not a time in my life that I remember not knowing Jesus. I mean, I think I always knew who Jesus was, and church was like a second home for me. I knew all the nooks and crannies. I knew all of the stuff there was to do, and I was really good at filling my time when my dad was preaching on Sundays, figuring out ways to pass the time during church, because it wasn't an option for me not to be at church. And so, you know, most of the time I wasn't paying attention. But when I was about 11 years old, my dad was preaching, and there was something about his message that caught my attention. He was talking about inviting Jesus into our lives. And I remember he said that when we invite God into our lives, that we have this power that enters in as well, that we're able to do the impossible, that God makes it possible for us to persevere, to change the world, to do incredible things, and that we're adopted into this family of God. And I just drank in every word he said. And as he closed in prayer, I thought to myself, boy, I want that. Now, I wanted it for all the wrong reasons, because deep down inside of me, I think I'm 11 years old. I'm just starting to realize I'm going to die someday. And I was scared. I was scared that someday maybe I would die and I wouldn't have done anything. I wanted to do something amazing, remarkable, leave my mark. I wanted to change the world. And so when we closed in prayer, I silently prayed to myself for God to enter in, to come into my life, to direct me. I opened the invitation. And I can now see, looking back, what God has done with that. I entered into that afraid, looking for power, hoping that God would make me somebody. I wanted to change the world, but instead what God did is God changed me. I don't know that the 11-year-old me would recognize the your old me today. I mean, I can't even believe it when I look back on then. As a kid, I was super shy. I was so backwards. And I hated public speaking. You have no idea how much I hated it. So one of the biggest fights that me and my father ever had was, there was a time he invited me to play piano for Easter. I said I would do it thinking he was signing me up for sunrise service with like 30 people. And the day before Easter, I discovered that he had signed me up for Easter worship, more than 100 people in the room. And I told him, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. No. He told me in no uncertain terms, you signed up for it, you're going to do it. And I remember I was such a nervous wreck. I hated being in front of people. And yet that perfect love of God at work in my life, little by little, has moved away all of that fear and doubt that was inside me. Little by little, God challenged me and pushed me. I used to feel sorry for my dad that he had to preach a sermon every week. And now here I am, preaching a sermon every week. God does that. When we invite God into our lives, that perfect love casts out fear. And what that means is that for us, we become a little bit better, a little more courageous, a little more bold. I still get scared today, believe me. I'm a little scared today in worship, my first time with all of you. But you know what? God's power is bigger than that. God's love chases out fear, makes us better. And if you are afraid, that is not God. God wants us to be bold, courageous, to love without hesitation, to welcome fully those around us. So love is without fear. Also, we can see from 1 John that love is sacrificial. I appreciate how 1 Corinthians chapter 13 puts it in the Message translation, where it says, love is not me first. If you're in a relationship where it's all about what can I get out of this relationship, you're not loving. That's not what love is. Love is sacrificial. It's putting others before ourselves. We have that model in Jesus Christ. And God models that for us. God loved us. But that love of God was shown in the sacrifice of Jesus in this world, sacrificing everything for us. I really love the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And he poses a dilemma, a question, which I think is a good one for us to ponder today. Do I love God, or do I just love God's stuff? Or to put it differently, he says, what if I could guarantee you right now that you could have heaven? You could see every person that you ever loved who's gone on to glory. You could have all of the things you imagine with heaven. I think of like unlimited ice cream and chocolate. Streets of gold, whatever it is, you've got it. But Jesus won't be there. Would you take heaven without Jesus? Or to put it a little differently, let's say that you could design a worship that was the perfect worship for you. You could have all your favorite songs, everything. You don't want to hear the sermon today? No problem. Entire service of music, if that's your thing. But Jesus or the Holy Spirit would not show up. Would you take it? Do we love God? Or do we just love God's stuff? Because real love is sacrificial. It's sacrificing ourselves for the sake of those we love. And God does that for us abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, God sacrificed everything just to be with us, just to walk among us, to understand us, to bridge that gap between us. God would do anything to be with us. It reminds me of, I think back to when my husband and I were first dating. So Sean and I, we met when we were in college. And yeah, there we go. Those are some old pictures of us. And we both were going to different colleges. I was at the University of Indianapolis. He was at the University of Wyoming. We met at a United Methodist conference. We're really United Methodist-y. We met at a conference, became friends. We ran into each other a few more conferences, kept in touch, and then eventually it grew into something more, and we decided we wanted to try a long-distance relationship. Now, long-distance, Indiana to Wyoming, that's a real long-distance relationship. We did as much as we could do to be together. I would drive sometimes straight through 19, 24 hours to get to Wyoming, and he would do the same to get to me. I still remember I took the bus once. You ever taken the bus across the country? It was packed. I woke up and there was a guy drooling on my pillow. It was a little scary. But you know what? I didn't mind, because all of those things, that sacrifice, got me closer to Sean. I would do anything to be with him. And when we had been dating for a while and he decided he wanted to ask me to marry him, he planned it all out. So when you meet my husband, you'll realize this is not his thing. He's not a planner. I am. So we make a really good team. But he planned it all out for me. He sent me postcards every week for months with little clues about how he was going to propose. And then he came out to Indiana, and he was so excited that he forgot that the airplane ticket was for the next day. He went to the airport a day early. But this is how good he is at convincing people. He convinced the airlines it was their mistake. And they put him on the plane and let him come to Indiana. He showed up at my door. I'm like, what are you doing here? This is great. He took me out to my favorite restaurant, which is, I loved Rick's Boatyard Cafe. I don't know if it's still around, over on Eagle Creek Reservoir. Because, they play jazz. You can see the sailboats on the water. He took me to my favorite overlook of the downtown Indianapolis skyline. He gave me my favorite poster of a print by Edward Hopper, one of my favorite painters. And then inside that poster was a ring taped to the window, which I didn't notice. I thought all of this was going somewhere. He handed me the poster. I went, oh, thank you. And he said, look at it. And I said, it looks like a picture. Thank you. And so he had to actually pull it open and say, look, there's a ring. All of my favorite things, not because he liked it, because I liked it. And he loved me and wanted to woo me over. And it worked. That's what sacrificial love is about. And that's what God does for us. God sacrificed everything, coming into this world, walking among us. And that price, as big as it was, God was willing to pay it because it got God closer to us. That is how much God loves us. And so the question is, how much do we love God? How much are we willing to sacrifice for those that we love? Love is free from fear, and love is sacrificial. You know, the early Christians, they looked at the world around them, and they saw so much darkness. That Roman Empire, they had so many issues. There was so much pain that surrounded them. And yet through Jesus Christ, they had this reminder of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, to love sacrificially, to be courageous in our love. In the musical, I always say it wrong, Les Miserables, Les Mis. It's one of my favorite musicals. And in the very last song, do you hear the people sing? My favorite line, to love another person is to see the face of God. God is love. Or we can switch it around. Love is God. And what that means is if you're in a dark place right now, if you're walking as the early Christian communities did in this place of darkness and wondering, where is God in this world where we see power corrupting, where we see hate ruling the day and division, where is God? God is love. And we have glimpses of God when we love others. I've been so blessed and so excited. I have to tell you, the best part of ministry is that I feel like I get a front row seat to see God at work. And just in the month I've been here, I have seen so many glimpses of God here at Carmel United Methodist Church. I've stopped by the food pantry. Many of you are volunteers at the food pantry. To see all of the people who make that possible. You know, all of these volunteers, you could do anything else with your time. and yet you sacrifice to come in and stock shelves and love people and feed those who need it. A couple of weeks ago, we participated in Soups On. Do we have any people here who volunteered with that? It is such an incredible ministry. Thank you. They go downtown, they feed the homeless, the hungry, and then this time, they invited people to bake home-baked goods. And so I feel like that is a little glimpse of God right there. That, you know, whenever I bake things at home, my kids always ask me, is that for us? to bake all these yummy goodies and not eat them. To bring them in for someone else. That's sacrificial love. And sometimes that face of God, that sacrificial love, looks like the man who came into my contemporary worship council meeting this week. Yes, I saw God at a meeting. I did. He came into that meeting a little bit late because he was flying directly from Amsterdam. He walked into that meeting with his suitcase. He had not yet been home. Just to be here, to be part of that meeting, I thought to myself, man, he must really love this church. He must really love God to sacrifice like that. There are glimpses of God all around us. And so if we're feeling disheartened, if there's darkness and we need to step in the light, try loving someone. Try sacrificing and working for that. May we all experience that love of Jesus Christ, which would do anything for us. And may we find a way to step out and love and sacrifice without fear for one another. Let us pray. Amazing God, we thank you for the ways that you are with us, for your great and abiding love, which doesn't let go of us. That love which meets us where we are in our fear, in our mistakes, in our doubt, and through your perfect love transforms all of that into something beautiful. I thank you, God, for the ways that you continue to transform me, and I pray for any here who are struggling, who are doubting, who are walking in darkness, for any here who maybe haven't even given themselves over to you or invited you into their lives, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would surround them, that they would see your light, that they would experience your love. And I pray, God, that all of us would be inspired to sacrifice, to be courageous for your sake. We do love you, God. You are amazing. In your name we pray. Amen.